Newsroom Footy, hosted by me, Sam Wykes,
and me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijin Footy stars.
Nijin Footy. Nijin Footy.
Listen to Nijin Footy on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malolele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field. I'm Sam Wykes and the starting gun is about to go off for another bumper episode today, sharing some of the best sporting stories from our Pacifica sports people on the show. You just heard a rooster in the background as well. How good is that? He's ready to go. And as always, I've got two co-hosts joining me from across the Pacific to help me share the load. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news in the island, so let's welcome them in right now. My first co-host is a multimedia sports journalist from the beautiful island of Fiji and probably the only person who has better hair than me. Let's welcome Taina Basialo Bula.
Bula Vinakasam, it's so great to be back on this show. I know it was just on last month, but it felt like a really long time. But I'm happy to be here again today for the last time.
For the last time for the year, we'll definitely get you back next year. But on a serious note, the battle of the hair, who wears it better, me or you?
Probably you. You have better clothes.
No. This is the show that where you can pump your own tires up, and you look amazing every time I see you on TV. But considering it's the back end of the year, and we are going into a new year, what has been your sporting highlight in the Pacific for 2025?
Sam, you know, that's an easy one for me. It would have to be the Palau mini games where I met you and where I had my first Fresh Off the Field, you know, the first ever episode with you guys. And that was pretty cool. But, you know, apart from that, you know, just seeing all the Pacific Island countries come together for the 2 weeks of competition, it's not something that you get to see every year. You know, every 4 years since it's the Pacific mini games. And I have to be honest, it was actually, you know, something that I have down in my history books, because like also that was the first time for me to fly over 3 hours. Oh, yeah. And the flight, that's just the topic for another day. But yeah, the atmosphere was electric, you know, getting to meet everybody. I made new friends who I still connect with, you know, until today. So yeah, that's got to be my sporting highlight for this year.
How good is that? The first time you've flown longer than 3 hours. Palau, what an amazing spot. Absolutely loved what we did that show with you over there. But we'll rip on with the show and we'll get to our other co-host who is a part-time comedian. Yes, she is. Part-time comedian, part-time broadcasting. I don't know, is this part-time as well? But she is a reporting veteran. Her name is Kalo Manu Moli. Malolele Kalo.
Malolele. And I think that introduction is very fitting.
4 part-times equals a full-time job, I think. But for yourself, what's been your sporting highlight of the year?
Oh, it's been wonderful, especially when I have the privilege of reporting for Fresh Off the Field throughout the whole year. And I was able to follow every sporting aspects and activities here in Tonga. So I think the highlight would be just, you know, the Tonga fans supporting all of the activities done by any sports team in Tonga, whether it's in football, rugby union, rugby league, you name it, they are there to support all of their teams. But, you know, it's really good to see the spirit. It's not just here in Tonga, but I can see it's quite contagious throughout the whole Pacific. You know, I think maybe it's in the air or the water that we drink here in the Pacific. They just have a different kind of mafana right throughout the year, especially when it comes to sports, or maybe they're just very competitive.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. There's an influx of sport in the kingdom this year and hopefully more next year. But that's enough about us. Let's get to what's coming up on the show. We'll hear from one of the Tongan Australian netballers who toured Tonga this week with the Giants.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very indescribable feeling to be back home in Tonga, you know, where I think I mentioned at the High Commission breakfast where my parents and grandparents and, you know, all my ancestors walked, to be, I guess, playing in front of them and all of my family was, I get goosebumps talking about it. I think it's very emotional.
You'll also find out more about a Fiji rugby tournament that is expanding this year to include more of our Pacific nations.
So we're having, for the first time, Tuvalu and Nauru rugby. This is a way to open doors to teams from across the Oceania region to come and be part of the junior rugby games.
It's also International Day of People Living with a Disability next Wednesday, December 3rd. So we're lucky enough this week to hear the story of Selina Siau, a Fijian para-athlete with an incredible sporting career.
People who live with disability are just like anyone else. Everyone just want to be accepted, value, appreciate, love and sin for the person with disability. There are no difference.
What a beautiful message. Plus, there's plenty of news in local sport and our usual trivia and games. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off The Field with Sam Waxtainer, Basialo and Kalo Manu Moli. And on Fresh Off The Field, you'll hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news story in your town, the one that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Taina, we're going to start with you in Fiji. What have you got for us?
You know, Sam, it's been 2 days now, but the emotions I felt at the Breaking Ground premiere are still sitting heavy with me. This wasn't just another event in Suva on a Tuesday night. This was a documentary on the rise of women's rugby in Fiji. And honestly, it shook me in a way I didn't expect. You know, first of all, Massive Vinakavaka Levutu Oceania Rugby's women's rugby program's manager, Sheridan Graham Tupaya, for the invite. And, you know, to everyone listening, if you ever get the chance to watch Breaking Ground, please do. And, you know, more about it. What makes it even more special is that it was produced by an all-female crew. It was a documentary for about probably about 30, 40 minutes long, and you can actually feel that power in every frame. So, you know, more about Breaking Ground, it isn't just a sports film. It's more like a movement, and it highlights the rise of women's rugby in Fiji, and also uses that story to raise awareness about ending gender-based violence. The premiere fell on the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and that was also the first day of the 16 days of activism. And having the Australia High Commissioner to Fiji, Peter Roberts, and Minister Sasha Kiran there really showed how significant the message was. But what hit me the most were the stories of the Fijiana players. You know, raw, honest, vulnerable. They didn't shy away from talking about the attitudes they've had to push against, the stereotypes, the challenges, the barriers. But, you know, they also showed how sport can open minds and also, you know, bring communities together and even reshape the way men and boys see women in leadership. And, you know, we've also had many of the stars from the film in the room that night. The players, the faces behind the stories, and even legends like Waisele Serevi, who featured alongside Tirani, Olina Kovandra. These, you know, are the voices that matter, and seeing them there just made everything feel even more real. And, you know, in one of my earlier podcast episodes, I talked about the hardships the Fijiana go through, the inequalities, all the sacrifices, the emotional weight of fighting for recognition, and watching all of that laid bare on the screen. It was overwhelming. And I'm not even ashamed to say it, but I cried through the entire documentary from start to finish, because it isn't just about sport, it's about dignity. And I could say it's also about change. and giving women and girls the space that they've always deserved. So I really hope everyone gets a chance to watch it. It's powerful, and it's also one of those stories that stays with you long after the credits roll.
I saw the trailer for this and it had me glued to the screens, wanting to watch the full documentary of Breaking Ground, which will be released in early 2026. So keep an eye out for it. But let's get over to Gullot now. Gullot, what's the talk of the town in the beautiful kingdom of Tonga?
Thanks, Sam. You know, here in Tonga, there's always a lot to talk about, especially with sports. It's quite competitive, as you know. And we've got our eye on our boys, our national team, the Ikaletahi. Once again, they are showcasing their talents up in the, for the European tour, which usually happens around at the end of every year. And they kicked off their tour with the game against Scotland. Always a tough game for them. Sadly, they lost a really bad loss, a really bad game, with a lot of cards being shown by the referee. Wow, they were really showing a lot of their muscles on the field. But it was really great to see that Staleki Timani was able to represent Tonga after playing for the Wallabies at age of 39. So I'm sure that he's quite patriotic and quite happy to be representing Tonga for the first time. So, and we are quite grateful that all of these big names are able to just give support to our national team.
Yeah, I know Tonga weren't great in that game, but it is a heartwarming moment for Sitaleki Timani. You know, 39, I actually played with Big Sita at the Western Force, and I know that he would have loved that that moment representing Tonga for the very first time at the ripe age of 39. And it was also amazing to see Scotland captain Sione Tuipulotu, being of Tongan heritage as well, so he had he swapped his jersey with Big Ben Tamaifuna. So it was a bit of a tent on him when he put it on straight after the game. But it's always nice to see the boys representing our tiny island. So thank you for filling us in on the Coconut Wireless, Taina and Kalo.
Fresh off the field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific, ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our island. And Taina, we will stay in Fiji for this first bit of it. What have you got for us?
So, Sam, the primary school athletics competition kicked off this morning in Suva. And as we speak, hundreds of young athletes are out there making their mark. This event has become a staple on the school calendar, traditionally taking place right before the end of term and just before primary school students head off for their long break. Now, what's exciting is the growth we're seeing. So every year the numbers climb, and 2025 is no exception. So this year, 26 teams are taking part, and that is including 5 new teams making their debut today. And here's a stat that really shows how rapidly athletics is expanding. This year, we have 300 more athletes than last year. So out of the 2,309 competitors, 1,130 are girls and 1,179 are boys. So, you know, that's a healthy balance and a sign that more children are getting involved in this sport, regardless of gender. Now, for the year 8 students, these are the final year primary school students, this competition is especially significant. It's also the first step into a bigger athletic world. And if you ever, well, I know you've been to Fiji, Sam, but if you come next time, make sure to go check out the Fiji Secondary School Athletics Competition. You know, the atmosphere is electric, 3 days of noise. There's a lot of color on the grandstand and unbelievable talent. And if you haven't experienced it, make sure, try to come on down
Wrong. I definitely want to come to it because it must be massive. Yes, because I know the Fijian Drua, when they schedule their games, they try not to make it clash with this event. So it must be huge over in Fiji.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those events that you have to see to understand. It's just like crowd from the morning of day one to the evening of day three. So yeah, because of that, today and tomorrow, you'll find high school coaches and scouts from some of Fiji's top schools walking the sidelines with their clipboards and the cameras in hand, you know, picking out the next big sprinters, jumpers and throwers. I had a chance to speak to a few coaches who have trained some of Fiji's best athletes, those who have gone on to regional and international success. And, you know, they all said the same thing. It all starts here at the primary school athletics level. So, you know, this is where their journey begins. It's where raw talent first shows and where future stars get their first taste of competition, and also where, you know, their dreams start taking shape. So while these kids are out there running, jumping and also throwing, you know, for medals and pride, in reality, many of them are also taking their first step towards a much bigger stage. And, you know, straight after this, I'm definitely heading down to the stadium to look for some amazing stories. And it's always never ending, you know, being there with them and just getting to hear all the struggles, the challenges, just to be here for these 2 days, especially those coming in from the islands. So I've got my hands full today and tomorrow, and I cannot wait to head down to the stadium straight after this.
Yeah, I've got no doubt Glenn Jackson or Nemani Kurundrani, Mick Byrne will be down there trying to find their next Celestino Ravutamanda as well. So, hey, looking forward to the talent that comes out of that competition. And now from local sport in Fiji to across the Pacific, what have you got for us here?
So, yeah, let's talk about something huge for football in our region, because the match schedule for the inaugural OFC Pro League has finally been confirmed. And honestly, this feels like the moment, you know, Pacific Football Story turns a brand new page. You'll remember the historic launch last month at Eden Park in Auckland. And that wasn't just a ceremony. It was a signal that football in Oceania is stepping confidently into a professional era. You know, something fans, players and coaches have been dreaming about for years. And now, you know, with the fixtures locked in, the countdown is very much on. So everything kicks off on Saturday, the 17th of January in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And the honor of playing the first ever match in the OFC Pro League history goes to Vanuatu United FC and, of course, Fiji's very own Bulla FC. So imagine that, you know, two island nations leading the way at Eden Park in a moment that's definitely going to be replayed for decades to come. Then straight after that, we get a North versus South New Zealand derby, Auckland FC versus South Island United, and that alone feels like fireworks just waiting to happen. But the action doesn't stop there. The next day, Tahiti United square up against South Melbourne, a clash of two football cultures. And before we dive into one of the region's oldest and fiercest rivalries, that is PNG Hikari versus the Solomon Kings FC. And, you know, that's the kind of matchup that reminds you why this league was needed. So what's beautiful about this Pro League is that it isn't just contained in one country. It's traveling the region. So round two will be in Port Moresby. Round three is going to be in Australia. Round four in Honiara, Solomon Islands. And round five here in Mba and also Suva. So not just a competition, but, you know, also a connection, bringing Pacific together through football.
Yes, we will be looking forward to these clashes and keeping an eye out on that in 2026. Now, Galo, let's go over to you. How about Ntonga? What have you got for us? What do you want to share?
Like I always mention, there's a lot going on here in Tonga, especially with sports. But, you know, our young talents are finishing school. A lot of prize-giving programs are happening from now until next week. So they will free up and be able to join in various tournaments and development programs that have been set up by various organizations. We can see over the horizon, there are some superstars that are showing up all over the world, and it's really making headline, like Alosi Bloomfield, who is making history for Tongan futsal players. She appeared at the inaugural FIFA Futsal Women's World Cup for 2025 that was held in the Philippines with the Futsal Ferns. So that's really great to see. A bit of background about Bloomfield is she's from Ha'akio and Lakepa in Tonga. Ha'akio is in Vava'u and has become the first Tongan woman to play at the FIFA Futsal Women's World Cup. So it's really amazing to see, a milestone, of course, that has a lot of great meaning for not just Tonga, but for the community that she hails from. And I'm sure the Red Wave is quite proud of that as well. Bloomfield has roots in football, has played futsal in her late teens for local clubs in Auckland, and she grew her confidence and learned the detail of the sports and, of course, progress from there. So she's doing well. She's now appearing in the big stage, and Tonga is very proud of their very own. Even though she's not playing for Tonga at the moment, but you never know in the future. We do have a few futsal teams, and it's still quite new, but I can see that there's a growing interest in the sports. Also, we've got rising star Aiden Fonua, also in football, appeared at the inaugural Pacifica Under 15 Cup, brought together the Pacific footballers from across Auckland as well for competition and showing their culture and connection there. So this was a tournament that was designed for Pacifica youth. And the tournament showcased emerging talent and highlighted the growing pathways available in the region. So it's not just Tonga, but also we've got representatives from all over the Pacific as well. So Aiden has represented New Zealand Tonga under 15 team, marking a meaningful milestone. So all of these really big names, well, not quite big at the moment, but they are growing on you. It will grow on you. So just kind of remember it in your mind at the moment as they develop their talent and really showcase as they go into bigger stages and bigger fields as they play. But also, you know, with, like you said, the Day for Disability next week is going to be commemorated. Tonga is really supporting all of our people with disability in whatever sports that they are able to have talent in. And I can see that a lot of them are able to really support table tennis. And that's just a really supported sport at the moment. It's being led by the Tasanok office, and I'm sure they're going to be showing up in all various tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely, they will be. Amen to that. Some positive stories coming out of the beautiful kingdom. But what else has grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
We are very excited to see our, from football yet once again, we can see that our Mataliki ladies have left the building, or left the island, as they say. And they are currently in the Cook Islands. They're going to be supporting the and participating in the FIFA Women World Cup qualifiers. So it's really nice to see that our superstar, Daviana Vaca, has joined the national team. She's really great, and she's already landed herself an international contract. But it's really, I'm sure that her teammates are quite grateful that she's able to join in the team in this qualifiers tournament. So not only the Mataliki has arrived in Cook Islands, other teams such as American Samoa, Cook Islands, Tahiti, they will all be competing with each other, and New Zealand, Samoa, and Solomon Islands as well. So two rounds of qualifying games for the teams with the pools. So it's really nice to see. Tonga will meet American Samoa in the first semi-final, and Tahiti and Cook Islands will face off in the second. So the winners will progress to round one qualifying final for chance to advance to round two. Losers will face off in the international friendly, with all matches to be played in Rarotonga. So it's amazing to see that we are also showing up in all different places, not just in Europe. We are right there in the Pacific as well, representing our small, tiny little period of an island, Tonga.
Yes, the World Cup qualifiers are in the Cook Islands. Get us over there for that one. The views would be amazing, especially the games as well. But how exciting, and we'll bring you those results in the coming weeks here on Fresh Off the Field. Dana and Kalo, thank you so much. It is always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands here on Fresh Off the Field.
Yaman stopwe.
All right, let's shift gears here, have a bit of fun and see who is a good liar, probably for the last time in 2025 for these two co-hosts. We're going to play Garmin Stubware, which is Talk Pissing for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to Garmin Stubware them and Tana for the very last time in 2025. Unless you get the call up for one of the other episodes, if someone drops out, what are your three things?
So first one is, I went to the gym for the first time last week.
At the back end of the year, I like it. Just to tick that
just
off.
Starting my new year.
Yeah, just getting in early.
Number two is I'm training to be a rugby player.
Ooh.
Number three is I slept at 4 a.m. this morning.
These are good ones. I can see you being a rugby player. I can see you playing for the Drua. Number eight, Gullo, what are you thinking here? You think she's training to be a rugby player?
Maybe she is.
After that documentary Breaking Ground,
I think she's that's not inspired. Her first time to go to the gym.
Yeah, fair enough. You're right there. I'm going to go if she slept at 4 a.m. this morning. That seems like she was out at Traps or O'Reilly's or something that in Suva Town.
Dragons.
Even though lockout time is midnight, but somehow you managed to stay in there a little bit longer. Is that right?
That's wrong.
You're a professional, aren't you? But what is it? So what have you got for us?
So the lie is I'm training to be a rugby player.
Ah, there you go. So that means, Gullo, we were both wrong. Oh, so you slept at 4 a.m. though. What was the reason for that?
You know, work stuff. Definitely not going out to Traps and O'Reilly's.
Oh, I'm just saying it's really? That time of the year, Staffies, Christmas party. I'm just running with it. I'm running with it. But hey, first time to the gym, good stuff on the treadmill. But Gullo, let's go to you now. What are your three things?
Just following on from the last time we played, I was saying a few celebrities that I have interviewed before. So I think I'll just continue with that. Tell me who I have not interviewed out of these three. Firstly, George Regoso, Fiji. Secondly, Dame Valerie Adams. And thirdly, our famous Olympic flag bearer, Peter Taufatofua.
Oh, Peter. He is my favorite athlete of all time, the flag bearer. He shines well, doesn't he?
Very much.
Not just on the field, off it as
everywhere.
Well. Everywhere. Donna, what are you thinking before we go into areas we shouldn't be going in with Peter?
I'll go with number two.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't think you've got the interview with Peter. I'm going to go that one.
I'll give it to Dana.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. It's the first time I haven't got one right.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
I've done right.
You've done right. You've done well. There we have it. Thank you, ladies. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, you know, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love hearing from everyone involved in each game. Each week, we hear some chats from across the Pacific. And Tana, we're going to start with you. Who did you speak with?
Thank you, Sam. So I spoke with the Oceania Rugby's Participation and Pathways Manager, Tirani Uluinakauvanram, and we spoke about the upcoming tournament that will be held in Nandi next month.
This is upcoming Nandi Junior Rugby Festival that will be held on the 9th and 10th December in Nandi. It's an annual event that has been happening since 2018. When the Nandi Junior Rugby Association was first formed. So we've got 10 junior rugby clubs. There are four clubs that are coming outside Nandi. And we're having both the boys and girls from the age 8 right through to 18, Taina.
And I understand this year's edition is going to be exciting because there are two teams. I believe they're coming in for the first time from Nauru and from Tuvalu. Can you talk more about their participation in this year's event, please?
Yeah, so we're having, for the first time, Tuvalu and Nauru rugby. This is a way to open doors to teams from across the Oceania region to come and be part of the junior rugby games. If we look at the level of development in these countries like Tuvalu and Nauru, and hopefully in 2026, there will be more countries like Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, that will be joining. It's a perfect place for them to come and be part of the event, since, as you know, rugby development is not as fast as we expect in Fiji, Samoa, and Tonga. So this is a catalyst of growth for these countries in terms of rugby development. So this year we are excited to have the Tuvalu under 16 and under 18 boys that will be coming for the first time, and also the under 18 girls, and also for Nauru. We're having the under 10, 12, 14, 16, and 18. And from our end here, we are grateful to the Vanua Nandi, especially Ratambu village, where they will be billeted. So it's a different concept altogether. It's a way of bringing in everybody to share the culture that we are known of in the Pacific through rugby.
And can you please just talk about the games that will be happening on the 2 days in Nandi?
So for the 2 days, we're having the under 8 and under 10 who will be playing the non-contact game, which is called T1 Rugby, and this is a World Rugby non-contact variant of the game, which is played across the globe. This will be the first time where these two grades will play T1 rugby. And then from 12, 14, 16, and 18, they will be playing sevens tournament. There's a total of 1,320 boys and girls who will be participating in the two-day event. And as this is a development tournament, we're also looking at getting young referees to come and officiate in the games. And we are excited to also have referees from Tuvalu and Nauru for the first time, you know, to help build and strengthen their match officials' pathways in their respective islands. Eh?
And Tivani, are there any plans to have this again next year? And, you know, what is next year looking like?
Yeah, as I've already mentioned, this is the first time we have opened doors to the Oceania countries. So we're looking at expanding this to this invitation to other unions, and we are just grateful to Oceania Rugby, Fiji Rugby, and also through the support of World Rugby to use this junior rugby event as a platform to support the development of rugby in the across the region. Eh? So we're expecting the festival to be bigger next year with the expansion of countries from around the region. So we are looking at this event as a regional event come next year.
What a great expansion of that competition, and good luck to all the teams, and thank you for bringing us that interview, Taina. And we're going to go to you now, Kalo. Who did you catch up with?
I was very fortunate to follow friendly games by Australia Pathway, and when they visited Tonga to play with the Talatu Tone ladies during the commemoration of the 150th anniversary years of Tonga's constitution. And I was very fortunate to watch the games and also able to interview our very own Tongan who is playing on the Australia Pathway team, Monica Otai.
Malolele, my name's Monica Otai. My mum is from Komotua and my dad is from Mafanga. I've come over from Australia to like a part of the Australian Pathway team to play the Tongatala team, and yeah, I'm just very privileged to be here. And yeah, my club at home is Giants Netball, so I've been playing netball for a few years. Yeah, I think I started when I was 13, so that's a bit about me.
I believe that you haven't been back home for quite a number of years. So to be back here and then play in Tonga, but against the Tonga team, how does that feel? What was that experience like?
Yeah, I feel like it's a very indescribable feeling to be back home in Tonga, you know, where I think I mentioned at the High Commission breakfast where my parents and grandparents and, you know, all my ancestors walked, to be, I guess, playing in front of them and all of my family was, I get goosebumps talking about it. I think it's very emotional, and especially this tour for me. I think it goes... It's much bigger than just a tour, and it's just really made me, I guess, kind of connect and reconnect back with my culture and, you know, where I come from and what's made me the person I am today, because I think, you know, without my Tongan heritage, all my values and my strength and even going up against the girls, I just wouldn't be the same person I am. So, yeah, I mean, it was very, very great, also a bit, you know, bit of mixed feelings with my family going for the Tongatala too, but you know, it's all right. It's always good competition, and you know, I've got sisters in my team, but also in the Tongatala team, you know, some relatives in that team too. So it's good, and it's always a challenge versing them. So it was really good.
It looked like a really healthy competition, and for everybody to have the privilege to watch you play and also to watch, you know, the Tongatala team play here in Tonga. But, you know, did that in any way become a challenge for you? Were you playing it down or were you giving it your best?
I think I definitely was giving it my best, you know, playing home here in Tonga. I think... Yeah, it just hit very close to home, and I wanted to put on a good performance. And I know that, you know, this is the first time that the Tala team have played here in, you know, their home. And, you know, I guess in a way it's mine too. So I knew that I had to, I guess, yeah, just step up my game and play my hardest, because I think I too was trying to prove a point, and, yeah, just trying to mark my ground too. I guess being the opposition and the enemy in this case. So, yeah.
Well, you played very well, and so is the rest of your sisters from the Pathway team. So congratulations, and thank you for visiting Tonga. We are so grateful for that. And also, just looking around, you know, your whole experience back here and coming with the Pathway team, what is the highlight of your trip?
Oh, this is so easy. Definitely the float, the parades. You know, all of us enjoyed it so much. And I think even just all the girls, I'm so glad that, you know, they experienced the crowd here. You know, the crowd wear their heart on their sleeve. I think you see it at the MMT games. And, you know, even in Sydney at the parades, you see Tongans all over the world, no matter, you know, if... their people are losing or winning, they're always riding the wave with them. So we really appreciate that, and I think just seeing the celebrations and celebrating with them was so just so lovely and just very grateful.
What about the food? Were you able to taste any good Tongan food that you've missed in all those years?
Yeah, definitely. The luu, I love luu pulumasima, so I had some of that. Even some feke, and I was hoping there was sapasui. That's another favourite food of mine, but it was really good. I know a lot of the girls enjoyed the luu and even the puaka, yeah. So...
Thank you so much for, being that great role model. And I know that there's a lot of people who are listening into this program from just not in Tonga, not in Australia, but all around the Pacific. So what is something that you can say to them, you know, to kind of inspire them about playing netball?
Yeah, I think... It sounds a bit cliche, but I think just whatever you put your mind to it, back yourself and do it with 100%. I think the talent in the Pacific community is just so big, and there's very, like, there's just a lot of talent in our community. So I think if you have a dream, no dream is too big, and we all wear our heart on our sleeves, and I think that passion and that love for each other and support is what is going to get us to where we want to be. So that's really what's helped me, and I guess also just staying connected with your faith, and giving thanks to the Lord always, because these opportunities don't come I guess as common, so just always taking everything with two hands.
Yeah, love to see that, Gullo. And now we're going to move over to another story here, and this week we're hearing the story of Fijian Paralympian Selina Siao, who has competed in shot put, javelin and badminton. And fellow Fijian Paralympian Mary Roden is doing the interview. Let's hear it now.
It's not because I want to use my power or my strength. It's because I want to do something to make my country proud, make my family feeling proud about me.
Bulavinaka, everyone. My name is Mary Roden. I'm 57 years of age. I'm a paraplegic, and I'm a para table tennis athlete. And today, I will be interviewing Selina Siao Sandy, and a para athletics athlete. Selina, good to have you with us this morning. Before we dive into your sports journey, could you please introduce yourself first?
Bulavnaka. My name is Selina Siao. I'm from Ra. Metanalike to the Gondrove. I'm 46 years old. And I'm also a sports athlete, Paralympic sports.
You've done so much. You've participated in a lot of, not just locally, but international level of sports event. What made you want to take up sports? What made you want to play?
It's like I close myself in the world because I'm shy of my disability. And when the time, first time I was deaf, it's like I'm shy to meet other people. Especially I don't want to be with my family. When the time they have dinner, I close myself in the room. I wait for the time when they sleep. I come out and have dinner. Because it's so sad when they're talking, I can hear them. When I watch TV, I can hear the TV. So those 6 months close to myself in the world. Then my stepmother came out to write a letter 3 times and put it under the window, asking me to come out. The first time, first letter, I threw it away. Second letter, I threw it. The third letter, no letter, I look at the ceiling and I imagine. I was trying to think about myself. If I'm lying here, I won't do anything. I won't learn anything. I will keep on watching the wall. Nothing else I will learn. The first thing I learned to teach myself, look at myself in the mirror and read my lips. Teach myself how to read, speak in Fijian, speak in English. But I never use sign language. But when I go to school, I learn sign language. When I sit with other friends, I communicate. When they communicate, I pick sign language from them. But most of the time, I sit with the deaf, trying to understand how to communicate.
I thank you for making a change in your mindset, in the way you thought about the letter that your stepmom had written to you. And I must thank your mom for pushing, you know, she, as you mentioned, 3 times she wrote the letter saying, come out of that room, come out and be with us in this world. And I guess that's something that a lot of us family members need to do. Thank you for that, Selina. How did you come to know about athletics, javelin, and other sports that you've taken part in?
I learned so much with my sports science, FNU sports science, as I'm schooling sports science. and learn how the skill to throw, and how the movements of the body, and how the strength and condition help me to exercise in weight lifting. So if one side of the body is not able to lift, but I can lift with one hand or with one leg. But the power is come from inside your heart. If you really want to learn something, it's only come from the heart, the mind. We can go through it.
How did it feel to participate at international level? How did you feel when you had to participate for the first time at international level? As you shared, you have gone to Japan, I believe, and also to Paris, and most recently to Palau mini games. How was that like, doing that for the first time?
I feel excited to see a different world, especially when I enjoy my trip. First time I participate in badminton in Perth and in Australia. It's like I'm afraid when I see other people surround me. But first of all, when I have a heart to win, it's like encourage me in another level to the floor. And I stand up and hold the short put stone to the row with courage. It's not because I want to use my power or my strength. It's because I want to do something to make my country proud, make my family feeling proud about me. And I'm proud of myself too, that I am come out of the world to see different country.
You did mention about the struggles. You thought about the struggles that you and your coach faced. So I believe it wasn't easy becoming an athlete. So I would like you to share the challenges you faced participating in sports or becoming an athlete. I'm sure there were challenges you faced, maybe in transport or other areas, communication-wise, having an interpreter maybe, not just locally, also when you traveled abroad, if there were challenges that you had faced and how you had managed to overcome those challenges.
Sometimes we face difficulty at home, so like in-laws, they want to say, you are married, you are not allowed to involve in sports, because you already married, you already have children. You're supposed to stay home and look after your family. So with kinds of words like that, can make you discouraged.
Thank you, Selena. This is that's quite a challenge. Eh? I think a lot of women face that. Eh? Participating, there's still stigmatization, stereotyping that still continues to live with. Eh? As we celebrate International Day for Persons with Disability, I would like you to say something to our listeners, to our colleagues out there, those that may have maybe going through the same challenges that you have faced, that you've come out of, those that are still in the dark about participating.
But people who live with disability are just like anyone else. Everyone, I just want to be accepted, valued, appreciated, loved and seen for the person with disability. There are not a difference. I use a wheelchair. Yeah? So if I'm using a wheelchair, all that is just a tools. It's just a tools for you to moving around. But I think I'm here today to spread and sharing with you.
Yeah, International Day of People Living with a Disability is next Wednesday, December 3rd. And what an inspiration Selena and so many of our para-athletes are across the region. And malo apito, taina and kalo, some wonderful stories of our amazing sporting talent from across the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with Sam Wykes, Dana Pasiello, and Kalo Manumoli. And yes, we will be playing Fresh Off the Dome. This is our quiz master to test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific just before we finish up for today. And every week I'll ask three questions. Taina and Kalo, they will use their name as a buzzer. And if you think you know the answer at home, play along as well. And let's play Flesh Off the Dome. What's a Flesh Off the Dome? Fresh Off the Dome. Let's go. Question number one. The MSG Prime Minister Cup football tournament finished up over the last few days in Port Moresby. The PNG... Taina. Oh, sweet. No, you go. I won't finish the question. God.
Okay, sorry. What was the question again?
I don't know. You didn't let me finish. All I know is that the MSG Prime Minister Cup football tournament finished up over the last few days in Port Moresby. And then I was about to ask, but you jumped in. So what happened?
PNG won.
That is incorrect. Vanuatu won. They won their first ever PM Cup in a penalty shootout in dramatic scenes. So, and to be clear there, PNG won the women, beating Fiji in the final. Is that where you were thinking, Taina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. But I wanted the men's results, and that was Vanuatu in that one. So penalty shootout. Don't jump the gun, okay, Taina, for the next question. Listen to the whole question. And I need to take my...
Will do.
I need to take my own advice as well. So let's go. Question number two. Multiple choice. Which Pacific nation will host the FIBA Under-17 Oceania Cup basketball tournament next month? Is it A, Samoa, B, Cook Islands, or C, Papua New Guinea?
Taina. A, Samoa.
Oh, see what happens when you listen? See what happens when you listen? Cool, calm, and collected. And Kalo, just checking, are you still there or have you clocked off?
I'm trying to listen carefully. Network here is not very good.
Blaming the network. Plenty of excuses. But Samoa was the answer. It's from December 18th to 13th in Apia. And it's a crucial qualifying tournament for the competing nations to make big tournaments in Asia for 2026. So there we have it for question number two. Now, question number three. Here we go. Gullo, we need you here. Over 700 paddlers are currently in the Cook Islands for the Matsan Vaka Eva. One of the most famous events is the Round Rara Relay. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Round Rara Relay, which is in a six-person canoe or va'a. Closest to, how many kilometres do they paddle for? I'll give you a clue. It's between 5 and 50 kilometres.
Kalo.
All right, Kalo, you needed this.
I'm going to go with 30.
Okay. Taina, what are you thinking?
35.
Oh, shut the gates. Shut the gates. It is 36. It's a 36-kilometer race. Taina, you didn't start well, but you've come home very strong. 36 kilometers. How are the arms? How would the arms be going? Would your one gym session help you in this event?
I think I need a few more weeks in the gym before I can go for that.
A few more weeks, I would say a few more years. 36 kilometres paddling away. They are absolute athletes. That wouldn't be for me, that's for sure. But that is the end of our show for this week, and that is the end for you two lovely ladies for the last one of the year. A big thank you to our Tongan media consultant and reporter, Kalo Manumoli. Maloa pito.
Maloa pito, Sam, and it's been quite a pleasure being on Fresh Off the Field right throughout the year. So looking forward to, if you'll have me back again for 2026, I'm ready for some more sports.
Oh, really? Is it flu season over there in Tonga as well? Is it something in your throat there? Or do you want me to put in the good word for you to come back?
Singing karaoke too much.
Fair enough. But I'll have you back next year. But if our producer doesn't, that's on you. But thanks to my other co-host, multimedia sports journalist from Fiji, Minaka Vakalevo Taina Pasiello.
Thank you very much, Steph. Pleasure being on the show for the last time this year. And hopefully... I get to speak to you again next year.
We will. You didn't. There's no flu season in Fiji, so you just went direct. Perfect. You'll be back next year for sure. And a big thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the Sporting Pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.